This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
One of the most common questions we receive is a question I think we can all relate to here today. We hear often in Islam, there's an emphasis on you were created for the afterlife. You were created to seek the eternal life. You were created so that everything that you're doing is aligning towards the akhirah. But at the same time, Islam asks us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks of us to take care of worldly matters. How do we balance our lives, these two seemingly disjointed worlds, two separate lives? At times they seem compartmentalized. How do we bring these two together to obtain what we want, which is an equilibrium, a balance that is proper and that is reflective of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us of the proper understanding of how to seek the akhirah while taking care of ad-dunya? How do we strike a balance? And one of the verses in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us, and there's a context to this, there's a story to this, one of the verses that allows us in the first two phrases of it to delve deeper into this question so that we never have to ask again, inshallah, is the verse from Surah Al-Qasas, ayah 77. And you can follow along the translation if they get the slide up, bi-idhnillah, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and follow the translation if you must, وَابْتَغِ فِيمَا آتَاكَ اللَّهُ الدَّارَ الْآخِرَةِ وَلَا تَنْسَ نَصِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا وَأَحْسِنْ كَمَا أَحْسَنَ اللَّهُ إِلَيْكَ وَلَا تَبْغِ الْفَسَادَ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ الْمُفْسِدِينَ. Our objective with this short talk, inshallah, is to answer this question by delving into the first two phrases of this advice. As for the first, I think it is very clear, self-explanatory at face value. وَبْتَغِي فِيمَا آتَاكَ اللَّهُ الدَّارَ الْآخِرَةِ. Everything that Allah gave you, all the blessings you have, your life itself, your time, your health, your wealth, your job, your children, your family, your position, your status, your degrees, whatever you have of this life, whatever Allah has granted you, use what you have for the afterlife. That is the default state for the believer. The purpose of living in this world is to utilize every blessing that Allah has given us to seek the highest levels of the akhirah, the highest levels of reward. That is the default state. And here is where most of us get lost. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَنْسَ نَصِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. Do not forget your share of this life. This could be interpreted in so many different ways. When Allah says, do not forget, it implies that the default state is what? That you're living for the akhirah. You're living for the eternal life. We are not here for ad-dunya. We don't know when we will check out. We don't know when we have to depart. But the time we have in ad-dunya, there is a share of it that every one of us must have. What is that share? This is what the companions and tabi'een and later scholars try to examine and synthesize and understand. What is the nasib of this dunya? What does that mean? Because culturally, the word nasib has so many different meanings. And it's understood in so many different ways. One of the understandings of your share of this life is the time you have in this life to utilize for the akhirah. So your nasib of ad-dunya is everything Allah gave you that you can use for the afterlife. For example, Allah gave you wealth, you're using your wealth for the afterlife. Allah gave you good health, you're using your health, your energy to do acts of worship. Allah gave you a certain position in society, a certain status, a certain job, a certain type of family, a relationship, you're using what Allah gave you, that share that you have for the akhirah. However, it seems that if we look a little deeper, we find that some of the sahaba understood this to mean, don't forget your share of this life on your way to the afterlife. As if to say that the default state every one of us should have is that I am not here for ad-dunya. I don't care about ad-dunya. It's as if to say this life is so insignificant, even if you lived for 150 years, even if you lived for 1,000 years, it's so insignificant because the next life is eternal. And if you are focusing your efforts and your time on this life at the expense of the next life, then you've gained 1,000 years and lost an eternity. Meaning what? You've lost everything. So Allah is telling us, it's as if you are thinking properly that I am not here for a dunya. Therefore, Allah out of His mercy says, do not forget your share of a dunya as well. وَلَا تَنْسَ نَصِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. Don't forget that you need to take care of your family. Don't forget you need to take care of your health. Don't forget that you need to do other things. Don't forget you need some wealth. You're not told give all your wealth in charity. You're not told you have to use all your time for salah. No, there is a share of this life that is necessary to get through this life. But notice here that the default state is the akhirah. The default of why we're here is not to chase after a dunya. What does a dunya then become? This lowly life. Because when a Muslim reads this ayah and they misinterpret it, they can go to one of two extremes. On the one hand, you have some people who say, Allah said, وَلَا تَنْصَ نَصِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. When Allah says, وَلَا تَنْصَ نَصِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا, it means do whatever you want. So just pursue this life. But Allah does not say that. It starts off with what? Seek the akhirah, with what Allah has granted you. The other extreme is what? For someone to say that a dunya deserves no time or attention or effort, and Muslims should put no effort or ambitions or goals for this life. They should not care about advancing civilization. They should not care about producing something good for mankind or leaving something behind. And that is also a weak misunderstanding. And so when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَنْسَ نَصِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا, it means utilize all that you have on your way to the akhirah as a stepping stone to be the best Muslim possible in this world, leaving behind whatever legacy you leave behind, a continuous charity of sorts, but you're on your way to your eternal home, you're on your way to Allah's pleasure. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us and our loved ones amongst the people of Jannatul Firdaus. Allahumma ameen. Aisha radiallahu anha one time was asked by the Prophet about some meat that she gave in charity. She said, all of it is gone, all of it has been donated. All of it is gone except for the shoulder. Meaning what? I donated everything, so it's gone, except for the shoulder, we kept it. The Prophet ﷺ corrected her and said, no, all of it remained except for the shoulder. Why? Because the things that you love, that you use for the sake of Allah, they are not things that have disappeared. They are things that you have kept with you where? In the bank of the akhirah. This life is the only opportunity we have to convert as much opportunity as possible, as many deeds as possible, into the currency of the next life. Can you imagine someone building for a dunya? They have the highest standards for this life, but no standards for the next life. They tell their children, you have to be the best in what you do for this life, but they have no teachings, no inspiration, no motivation for the next life. What happens? Their children build and build and build for a dunya, but in the akhirah, that bank is still empty. In the akhirah, there's still something that is vacant. So as we're seeking the akhirah, we're utilizing ad-dunya for that cause. How can we simplify this and structure this with two principles? Two very easy to remember principles, inshallah. So what we want to utilize here so that we can attain our goal, inshallah, the goal of equilibrium, is to describe this multifaceted fusion of two worlds. Living for ad-dunya and al-akhirah while knowing where each belongs in priority and thought. So the very first principle you have to keep in mind, inshallah, is that everything has its due right. We hear this often. Everything has its due right. Here's an example. Authentic reports, Hanzala radiallahu anhu, the famous companion, he leaves his house, he runs into Abu Bakr. And I'm paraphrasing the story. And Abu Bakr asks, how are you? Ya Hanzala, he says, Nafaqa Hanzala, I've become a hypocrite. Can you imagine your friend running into you in the street and the very first thing they say is, I've become a hypocrite? He says, Subhanallah, what happened? He says, when I'm with the Prophet and he talks about Jannah and Nar, I feel like I am seeing them with my eyes, meaning my iman is so high. But then I go back home and we have to tend to our spouses and our children and our jobs. And all of those things the Prophet said, most of them rather, they start to slip away. Meaning my iman is not always at that peak. Like that time I was making dua, like the time you were in the lecture, like the time you heard Quran, your iman will fluctuate and also your priorities will fluctuate. So he's saying what? I feel like because my iman dipped, because I pursued something worldly in his perspective, then I have become a hypocrite. Abu Bakr said, by Allah, I experienced the same thing. Let's go to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So they go to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Hamdallah says that I have become a hypocrite. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asks, what happened? And he repeats what he said. I feel like when we're with you, we see the akhirah with our eyes, but then when we leave, it's gone, slips away. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, what? He said, by the one in whose hand is my life, meaning he's swearing by Allah. If your thought, your iman and your thoughts and your efforts were the same constantly as they are with me, if you were constantly at that high, that peak of your life, and it never dipped, then the angels would come down to you and shake your hands in your homes and in the streets. Meaning what? Your level of iman would be beyond what is expected, that the angels themselves will come to you. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, sa'atan wa sa'a. However, an hour for this, an hour for that. A time for you to focus on rituals, a time for you to focus on the necessities of life. Notice here, it's not things that are wasting time. It's not things that are killing time. This is not a justification of the one who's killing 7-8 hours a day. No, a time for this means what? A time for the things that have a right upon you. Your family, they have a right upon you. Your body has a right upon you. So you're not allowed to, for example, pray Qiyamul Layl all night and not sleep during any night. You're not allowed to fast every single day with no exception whatsoever. There are exceptions. In other words, there are rights that have to be given, so give them their due rights. So number one, once again, everything has its right. Number two, everything that does have a right, that is not worship, convert it into an act of worship. Let me ask a question. On average, how many people here sleep on average 8 hours a night, approximately? Okay, how many people sleep more than 8 hours a night? MashaAllah, you're very honest and brave. Let's take 8 hours as the average. That's 56 hours a week. 8 hours is one-third of your day. In other words, one-third of your life. One-third of your life, 33% of your life is dedicated to sleeping. Don't feel bad. The second, if you're working full-time or studying full-time or you're raising children, you can go ahead and cross off the rest of your available time, right? So when you're working full-time, 40 hours a week, going and coming, most people a little more than 40 hours, commuting, preparing, recovering, and so on and so forth. Let's say it's 56 hours a week on average. That's another one-third of your week or one-third of your adult life. 33% of your life for sleep, 33% for your full-time studies or your full-time work or even raising children. You have another 33% left for everything else. Now with these first two-thirds, let's talk about these two. 66% of one's life, these are not things most Muslims intend as acts of worship. And that means we are missing out on 66% of our lives being dedicated for the sake of Allah. Meaning the reward that we're missing out on because of one simple mind shift, one single paradigm shift. It is magnificent what we could attain through that thought. What do I mean by this? Intend your sleep for the sake of Allah every night you're about to sleep. And make dua before you sleep, Adhkarun Nawm, to remind you of this. Intend your work for the sake of Allah, and that one third of your life, 33%, is now rewarded. Your sleep is now rewarded. It is an act of worship. And now there's barakah in it. And now it is connecting you to the afterlife, which is your goal. And more importantly, we look to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam statement, an authentic report, that if a man spends on his family and he intends it to be an act of worship, وَهُوَ يَحْتَسِبُهَا, he expects and hopes for reward from Allah. Just like in Ramadan, إِيمَانًا وَاحْتِسَابًا. You're hoping for a reward from Allah for your worldly action. Something you have to do anyway. The Prophet ﷺ said, it will be written for that man as a charity. This applies to everyone. Anything you're doing as a necessity of life, your studies, you're going to school all these hours and a lot of people complain about school, you might as well convert it into an act of worship. Your bank in the next life starts increasing. If we're able to do this with sleep and with work, with sleep and with studies, then at least leaving here today, inshallah, very practically, at least 66% of our lives will be considered acts of worship. Think about how generous Allah is. Think about what we're being offered here. We have the opportunity to continue getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a multifaceted way by remembering to set our intention for the sake of Allah. Wallahu a'lam. Now, I'm going to do something that I don't usually do in these short talks because the time is limited. I have 7 minutes and 35 seconds. So what I want to do, inshallah, is to share a video that many of you have seen before. But I have watched this video more than a dozen times and has touched my heart every single time. And I know that it's 20% of my time, but I am dedicating the last 5 minutes before the commentary and conclusion, inshallah, to this video with our dear brother, a brother I've never met before and I hope to meet in the next life, the brother from Australia who was a millionaire who was diagnosed with cancer, Ali Banat rahimahullah. How many people heard of Ali Banat rahimahullah? Alhamdulillah. And for those of you who have not, I urge you tonight when you get a chance to go online and watch the video called Ali Banat, the gift of cancer. I urge you to find this video and to watch it with your family, inshallah. Ali Banat rahimahullah recorded a video before he passed away. As he was going through chemo for 3 years. 3 years, his entire life changed. He had a Ferrari Spider and many other cars. He had millions of dollars saved up through his businesses, mashallah. He had the most expensive, luxurious types of watches and shoes and hats. Things that people think will make them happy. Things that people are pursuing of a dunya at the expense of their akhirah. When he was diagnosed with cancer, everything changed. Reality hit him. And this is something that he shared with the world. May Allah reward him. Because it inspired many others to take this matter seriously. It's not going to make you happy when you pursue a dunya at the expense of the akhirah. You can have a dunya, but as a stepping stone to the akhirah, you can be the best person you are in any field in this world, secular and otherwise. But at the pathway or during the avenue of increasing your rewards, building for the akhirah. So I want us to watch this video and then I will close off with 1 minute, inshallah, afterwards. If we can get the video going, inshallah, jazakum khair.
As you all know, alhamdulillah, passed away. I just wanted to make a little video clip for all the followers that have supported me from day one and come on this journey with me since day one. May Allah reward all you guys and inshallah you continue to support me and MATW, inshallah. One of the first thing is a little piece of advice to the brothers and sisters. As you see in this life, we had the cars, we had the money, we had everything, alhamdulillah. But subhanAllah, a lot of people during the period of when I was sick, they'll send me messages, brother, you're guaranteed paradise, brother, you've brother, you've done so much for the community, for the ummah, but subhanAllah, this, yani, it's not worth just the simple blessing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, like waking up in the morning and being able to walk to the bathroom by yourself. So these things slowly got stripped away from me during the last of my life, alhamdulillah. Wallahi, some of us don't get that chance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to know when we're going to pass away. Some of us, and a lot of us, just pass away suddenly. You've heard many stories where brothers and sisters have died in clubs or overdosed, or whatever it is, subhanAllah. So during your life, brothers and sisters, just try to have a goal, try to have a plan, try to have a project that you work towards. Even if it's not you personally doing it and you're funding someone else's projects, just do something, because wallahi, you're going to need it on the Day of Judgment. And for the brothers and sisters that are chasing this life, one of my advice to you guys is, this life is becoming, yeah, before we used to say 5 years ago, 10 years ago, certain things were happening. Now it's every month things are changing. Tell you, Allah, we're following our desires more than we're following Islam these days. We're just going to be careful, because Allah, it's not a joke anymore. Our kids are getting affected. Everyone's getting affected. Wallahi, sometimes I used to just sit on my bed and cry, because I just wanted that support from people. And then subhanAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala means you people that you've never thought they'll be a part of your life, or friends, or you didn't even know they existed. When I used to travel, I used to meet certain people. A lot of them actually went out of their way to come all the way from Dubai or the UK or wherever it was to come to actually visit me when I was sick or in hospital. Or that's love for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No photos, no nothing like that. Just come to visit. 14-hour flight just to see if I'm okay, subhanAllah. So for the people that are out there that are sick or worried or stressed, come on, I say to you people, don't worry. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send you people that you've never expected if you really need someone. You just have to have trust and tawakkul in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So a little advice for everyone out there. Inshallah, if you can inspire 1, 2, 3 people to do something, remember when you're in that grave, inshallah, then you'll be getting rewarded for everything they've done, for all the people they've brought to Islam. And inshallah, that'll help on the day of judgment. So always try to have a project or a plan that you're working towards in this life, inshallah. Inshallah, that'll help us in our grave and the hereafter. Jazakallah khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy on our brother Ali ibn At rahimahullah, and inspire others through his projects, through his actions, through his non-profit charities, and so on and so forth. Most importantly, to summarize what we're saying, my brothers and sisters, we already know that this life is not the life. This life is the only opportunity, the sole opportunity to create currency for the next life, the currency that we will need in the next life. And so after this, inshallah, consider, if you have not before, writing your will. Consider, inshallah, being more conscious and cognizant that every act in this life that is pursued, everything that you strive for, use it as a stepping stone for the highest levels of Jannah. Intend it for the sake of Allah. Look at it with meaning and think about the powerful mental health impact when everything you do is done with meaning, when everything you do is done with purpose. And finally, my brothers and sisters, remember that the dua that summarizes all of this is a dua we all know, perhaps. رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ وَصَلِّ اللَّهُمَّ عَلَى مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ. وَالسَّلَامُ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ.